You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Stephen Harper went to Davos in Switzerland for the annual conclave of corporate and government leaders. There, Mr. Harper stirred the pension pot, and cries of pension crisis then echoed through the Canadian media. Well, what is this crisis, and is it genuine? To explore these and related questions, we've contacted Monica Townsend. She's an expert on pension plans and writes on this topic regularly for the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. Hello, Monica. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be there.
Could you begin by just sketching out for us the three tiers of the Canadian pension system?
Right. The basic tier is old age security and the guaranteed income supplement. Old age security is a benefit that goes to everyone who, as long as they've lived in Canada for at least 10 years after the age of 18. If they haven't been here for 40 years after the age of 18, they'll get a prorated benefit. But it's a flat rate benefit and it's not income tested, although it is clawed back from high income earners who earn more than $69,000 or more. Supplementing that on this first tier is the guaranteed income supplement, which is, depends on income, and it's based on the different rates for singles and for couples. If you're a spouse in a couple, you'll get a particular rate depending on your joint income of you and your partner. The second tier is the Canada Pension Plan, or in Quebec, the Quebec Pension Plan, and that depends on your earnings. You get a benefit that's roughly equivalent to 25% of your average earnings over your lifetime, and that's adjusted for inflation, and it's up to a certain limit. Then the third tier is sort of private arrangements, and that includes workplace pension plans that your employer might provide, or your own savings through RRSPs or investments or tax-free savings accounts or whatever. So those are the three tiers of the system.
So I can see quite clearly how the third tier is funded. It's privately funded, as you say. But what about the other two? How are they funded?
The Canada Pension Plan has no government money in that. It's funded entirely by contributions from workers and their employers. And they combined pay just under 10% of their earnings up to a certain limit. Any contributions that come in that are not needed to pay current benefits go to the Canada Pension Plan Investment Fund. And at the moment, we have enough money from the contributions to pay all the benefits. But as the baby boomers move into retirement, we'll start using some of the earnings on the investment funds to supplement the contribution revenue and pay the benefits. The first tier that I talked about, the old age security and the guaranteed income supplement, those are funded from the tax revenues of the federal government, and that means that the federal government alone can decide what he wants to do with that, whether it wants to change it or whatever.
Now, I gather that the crisis that Stephen Harper referred to refers to Tier 1, to the old age security. What is the argument that he and his supporters are putting forward for this crisis?
Well, first of all, it isn't a crisis. It's the demographics, and we've known about it for decades. These are the baby boomers who are moving now into retirement. The leading edge of the boomers is now in the age group 65, so they'll start to claim old age security. Now, he claims that as they move into retirement, there won't be enough money to pay all the benefits. So he's suggesting some kind of cutback, although he hasn't actually said what that will be. Most people think that what he's thinking of doing is increasing the age of eligibility from 65 to 67, which would mean that people would have to go on working for another 2 years before claiming their benefits. Now, why he's calling it a crisis, I don't know, because, as I said, we've known about this for decades, and he didn't mention this at all in the election campaign. So it's hard to know what exactly he's up to here.
Have other experts put forward arguments that our existing old age security plan is sustainable, that it is sound?
Yes, they have. And in fact, just a couple of days ago, the Parliamentary Budget Office issued a report saying that it is sustainable. And the Parliamentary Budget Officer even said if the government made increases in this benefit, it would still be sustainable. And it said that there's absolutely no need to increase the age of eligibility. The same conclusions were reached in a report that was commissioned by the federal government itself and released a couple of years ago, and that said exactly the same thing, that this benefit is sustainable over the long term and there's no need to increase the age of eligibility. What the government is doing is sort of scare tactics, if you like, by saying the cost of this benefit is going to go up to something like $108 billion by the year 2030, which will be sort of the peak year of the baby boomer retirement. But what they haven't said is what percentage of the total economy will that be? And when you look at that, it's almost nothing. Currently, old age security accounts for about 2.3% of the total economy, and it will go up to 3.1% in 2030. So that is less than one percentage point of gross domestic product, which is how we measure the output of the economy. When you take that into account and say, you see how little of our total economy we're going to be allocating to this benefit, it seems almost insignificant.
So it has this kind of almost common sense kind of sound, or I guess accepted wisdom that the graying of the population, the graying of the economy, we're not going to be able to afford all these older people on pensions. But when you look at it, the figures just don't support it?
No, that's exactly right. Because you can't sort of say what the cost will be without taking into account what percentage of our economy we're going to be allocating to that. For example, when we've had a debate on health care recently and how much of the economy that will take up, and I think some of the estimates are that will be something like 14% of our total economy, which is way above what old age security will be.
The proposal that people are thinking that he's going to put forward, I mean, I guess you say that there hasn't been explicit proposals put forward, is that he will raise the retirement age to 67. If he were to do that, what impact would that have?
The biggest impact would be on lower income earners, because it would mean that they would have to go on working for another 2 years before being able to claim their benefit. Many of them would not be able to do that because their health may not hold out, or they may be engaged in sort of heavy physical work, which makes it impossible to go on working. They may find that old employers react badly to older workers, that there may be discrimination against older workers. We know that some of that exists. And they may have difficulty finding jobs. Now, people who earn a bit more than those lower-income workers are likely to have other sources of income and therefore more choice about when they retire. The other point to remember, I think, is that old-age security accounts for a very significant portion of the income of people as they get closer to retirement age. We know, for example, that if you look at women in the age group 65 to 69, old age security accounts for 29% of their income. If you add OAS and GIS together, 38% of the income of women in this age group is accounted for by OAS and GIS. So that's an indication of how important these benefits are to many seniors.
The government points to Europe when they're kind of making this, floating this idea of raising the age, where eligibility for pension was delayed in this kind of way. Is that a fair comparison?
No, it's not. First of all, European public pensions in Europe are much more generous than they are in Canada. Secondly, the age of eligibility that some of them have been doing is bringing it up to where Canada was before. For example, in Britain, women were eligible for public pensions at the age of 60, and they have increased that to the age of 65. In other countries, their eligibility ages were under 60 or around 60, so they've been increasing it to 65. One or two of those countries has gone up to 67, but not many of them so far. And again, to repeat, the generosity of their public pension plans is much more than it is in Canada, so it's not really a fair comparison.
Now, you said that we don't know why Harper is doing this, but if we speculated as possible reasons, what would you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a conspiracy theory rears its head here, but it may be that he's trying to get Canadians to save more on their own and to reduce the role of government in the system. I don't know if that's the case or not, and I haven't heard anybody else speculating on that. But the minister, Diane Finley, made some comment about if you I heard her interviewed on TV, and she was making a comment that if you give people enough warning, they can start making arrangements for themselves, which I thought was kind of an ominous statement.
Yeah. It is generally calculated that a retired person needs, I guess, about 70% of their pre-retirement income to roughly sustain their standard of living. And obviously, when you crunch the figures of where we're at right now, this is not what's happening. What needs to change in our pension system to solve that kind of problem?
Well, I think the biggest change that is needed, and unfortunately the government has rejected it so far, would be an increase in the benefits from the Canada Pension Plan. Provincial finance ministers had a meeting in December last year, and most people thought they were going to go ahead with that. And then instead, they came out with this arrangement for pooled registered pension plans, which is basically another version of RRSPs, and which they said would give everybody a pension, which, of course, it won't. Unfortunately, the increasing the benefits of the Canada Pension Plan, it's a plan that's administered by the provinces along with the federal government. And the federal government alone cannot make changes to this plan. It requires the agreement of two-thirds of the provinces having two-thirds of the population. And when they discussed it in December, both Alberta and Quebec were opposed to it, so they couldn't go ahead with it. Changing that would be very beneficial because it would involve increasing contributions to the plan, but that could be phased in over a 6 or 7 year period, and that would mean that benefits could be increased significantly. And since it's a plan that covers almost everybody, it would provide everybody with much better basic benefit. It's important to remember, though, that this is a plan that's based on earnings. So people who are low earners, and especially women, for example, would still need old age security and guaranteed income supplement to add to what they'd get from the CPP.
Well, it's been great to talk to you this morning, Monica. It's been extremely clear, and thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Monica Townsend. She's an expert on pension plans and writes on this topic regularly for the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.